So we always reserve some time after our consideration of these things to have comments or questions. So, yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I'll just I never thought about the fact that Paul, John, and Peter, when they wrote these things, they had no idea that it was going to last 2,000 years and be edifying to the church and building up. But just like you said, around John, everything, the isolation separated all of it. The same for Peter, or Paul, I mean. He said, all in Asia have forsaken me. It just dawned on me. The circumstances around their life at that time would have been so depressing if they'd been looking at the earth. But they were so heavenly minded. That,
or even the conditions in the church.
Yeah, they were so heavenly minded that these conditions did not take them down. I mean, I just never thought about it until he said that. It's like, it was the worst conditions you could imagine from an earthly perspective. Yet, what came out of it has lasted 2,000 years and been a mystery to the church. It just, I mean, it's very encouraging.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, what I was thinking about John, you know, he, on the Isle of Patmos, it means he was in that place. Patmos in the Greek means being trodden underfoot. So, oppressed. They tried to kill him, boil him in oil. According to tradition, he didn't. They didn't kill him. And so they sent him into exile into that Roman colony there at Patmos. And it's very interesting when you look at Revelation chapter 1. John was probably just like Daniel, was facing Jerusalem. Not facing Jerusalem literally, but he was facing Jerusalem praying. He was probably on that island facing, you know, the Asian continent, which is Turkey. Those churches praying and in travail over the state and condition of the churches. And then Jesus appears to him in Revelation 1 and, of course, gives him the message to the churches. But what does it say? He was probably facing those churches, praying, maybe even on his knees. And then he heard a voice like a trumpet. And he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him. So instead of facing, no doubt in the direction of that which represents, you know, that which is his charge, those churches in Ephesus, he turned to see the Lord. He had to turn. In other words, he wasn't facing in the right direction until he heard the voice like a trumpet. A trumpet is a sound to assemble. It's a sound of war. It's a sound, it's used as a signaling device in the Old Testament. It's a sound for, it's also a sound for a theophany, that is a manifestation of God. And he turned to see the voice. In other words, he wasn't facing the right direction. So, what's the right direction? Well, to see the Son of Man in the midst of the church is there in Revelation chapter 1. Yeah. So that was his encouragement. He saw the Lord. Anything else? Any other questions? Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
I didn't have a question, but I think, I've not really been so impacted by things we read as recently. And I think for me, the last 2 weeks that have just represented a massive transition in my heart, walking out what the Lord is doing and seeing Him work and do things that I knew were possible with my mind, but didn't actually, I was just waiting to see. And so there's been this big transition of being, living my life mostly completely dissociated and dealing mostly with programming, mostly with very little humanity and strong principalities, and to this transition where I have a lot of humanity. And honestly, I deal with more despair now than I did before, because I'm filled with the effects of living in idolatry for years and years and years, and I'm filled with my own wickedness that's before me every day, and to escape it, I go back to searing pain of dissociation, this tearing inside, or I just sit in it. And so reading this, it's like, I was just thinking the other day how sometimes you get started in this process of coming out of dissociation, and you think your goal is just to integrate, and you have these ideas that life is going to get easier, and it's just not that way. You come into contact with the effects of your idolatry. You come into contact with the fact that you've been an enemy of the God that you've loved for the last, for me, 30 years. And so, I mean, over 30 years. So it's like, I need a vision of something greater, because just integrating is not sustaining. Just the idea of having less pain was dashed months ago. It's like you have to embrace a new vision of the Lord to actually just continue on. You know, it's like just to even face yourself, really. I mean, it's like, and reading this about, I'm faced with obstacles, not as much externally, but internally, just the reality of who I am and living day to day with who I am. And I have to look through that unto the Lord, because He is the end. The end isn't integrating, and the end isn't these little goals along the way to, you know, I told the Lord, I want to be able to receive love and give love. Well, even in the end, He is my goal. He is love. He is. And so I just think these last two chapters have just really helped me kind of lift my eyes back to the goal, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and look through. Because when you set your eyes on these little goals, it's like the incentive isn't even there, because the Lord Jesus is our incentive, and so everything else really doesn't sustain. You just get eaten up with despair, like these men would have, like John and Paul. And so I just really appreciate.
Yes. Well, this is, you've been here about 6 months, so your speaking is a miracle that you can even think along this way. So we thank the Lord for His work in your life. Yeah, wonderful. Anything else?
Well, Connie has the audio up. Can we find
okay.
it?
Okay.
I don't know how to.
Yeah, I have it just started. Mm-hmm.
So what is it you're looking for again?
The prayer at
okay.
the very end.
Were you going to just read it or what?
So there's the sound. Okay.
So enjoy the trial.
Exile with all the conditions which must have accompanied that exile.
This is the actual recording of
well,
chapter 6.
Well, that's enough to make a man despair and feel that he's lived his life in vain, and that there really is no hope at all. But he had an open heaven, saw a vision, and what visions he saw. It was the open heaven that saved him. The Lord give us that. And a new apprehension of the throne and the man upon it.
Here's his prayer at the end of the chapter.
If anything has been said that would have been better left unsaid, we beseech thee to cover and nullify that, O Lord. Whatever has been right according to thee, do make it more than words and ideas and statements. Make it life. Make it our salvation. Make it our strength in this difficult day. O Lord, in this day, this very day in which we gather together, may thou lay hold of us, and we be able to lay hold in a new way of the throne, of all thrones, the man above all, upon it. We ask this, that glory may come back into our hearts and into our assemblies and amongst thy people, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful to hear that prayer. And yeah, that's the audio. These messages were transcribed by Emmanuel Church into booklet form. And so, yeah, thank you for getting that up. So yes, that's was a recording of the message that is also on the AustinSparks.net under the in the audio files. So yes, anything else? Thoughts? Well, we thank the Lord for this opportunity He's given us to be renewed and to press into higher ground in Jesus' name.